Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this cold, snowy day. I talked to my father yesterday and he said he was freezing to death. 50 degrees. I started to hang up on him. A few announcements. You'll take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, telephone number, email, that type of information. We would like to have it so we can contact you. If you've changed the phone number or added a cell phone number or changed anything, you can put it on the I Wish card if you'd like to get a message to me. You can put it on the I Wish card. I will get it much quicker that way. And then when these come by, you can put them in the offering plate for the deacons to gather them up. A few announcements. I'm going over these quickly. Just remind you that the nursery is open, should be open every Sunday, with Rachel, our nursery worker. Brief meeting of the Women's Association after worship today. Is that going on? Yes, you're waving. Junior church, first three Sundays of each month. Deacons are meeting today after worship. Youth group is meeting from 6 to 7:30. Per capita, that's for every active member. 2373, that's hopefully above your normal giving because we pay that into the local government, our presbytery, and goes for General Assembly, Synod, and Presbytery. And it's not too early, need to get those audits in, and because we're having our annual meeting on March the 25th, so that's coming quicker than you know, and they would like to have some time to do the audits, look over them, and get them back, and then we can put our books together. So we need them done 3 weeks, or at least 2 weeks, on the back table before we have the meeting. So it's really time. The Women's Association, the luncheon is this Thursday with baked ham, and you can read the menu with homemade pies and desserts. You can call and get a reservation or a takeout for $8 a person, or you can come help with this. Some of our workers, some of the main workers, are gone on a cruise right now, so they might could use some extra help. So you can call the office if you'd like to help. Any other announcements at this time? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is number 8. Praise the Lord Almighty, the Almighty.
Oh,
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you because you are filled with compassion for your people. We praise you because you help us when we are hurting. Forgive us when we do not reach out to help the physical, emotional, and spiritually sick. Help us to have the same kind of compassion Jesus displayed. He could not pass by someone who was hurting and not heal them. Teach us how, as the church, we can minister to those around us. May we have a heart for proclaiming the good news of God's love, forgiveness, and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with ourselves, those sitting around you, and other churches in our community and around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, make sure you ask and find out.
Oh,
really the only way we can worship God with our whole heart. Our responsive reading in the back of your red hymnals, 648, the Beatitudes, 648. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God.
Blessed are those who are
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests. And I'd like to kind of update you. Diane Croyle was in Passavant and doing better and has gone home. John Rowley is still in Vicentia Regency, but he is going to be moved to a permanent residency. I don't know the name of it. It's on Babcock, down across from the technical school. I believe it's called Beatty Tech. So he'll be going there.
Grace Manor.
So he'll be going there. I don't know the date, but I'll let you know as soon as I find out. Latest update, as I pass this down the internet, some of you may not know, but Joe Inarito, Kathy's husband here, and Nathaniel's grandfather, Joe Inarito down in Tennessee, passed away. Then the next day, Joe's stepfather passed away. So kind of a double whammy there. So Bob Kaufman with his wife Mary Lou, they have been down to our church service many times and to some of our dinners and some of our events. So some of you have seen them here. So our sympathy goes out to them. The family's handling it very well, very good attitude. And so let's keep them in our prayers. And Joe and Kathy and I guess Nathaniel will be traveling to Tennessee. What day will y'all be leaving? They'll be leaving Friday. So let's keep them in our prayers as they go down there to see that part of the family. Thank you, Kathy. If you didn't hear, she just said she wants to thank everybody for thoughts and prayers and love. Then a prayer of thanksgiving. Patty Hall called me last night, and all I could hear was a little bit of mumbling and crying. She handed the phone over to Bob, and Bob talked to me. And Patty was getting, I can't remember the exact circumstances, but bank branch was shutting down, and they were laying people off. So she was losing her job, is losing her job, and so had been praying about it for a long time, keeping her faith, and a Go Green company is hiring her. And somebody that knew her, and this lady recommends people, and everybody she recommends gets hired. And so she's losing a job, but is getting a much, much, much better job. So they're so thankful about that. And so they're just elated, and so you'll get to travel some. And the family's going to get to go with her, and then I'm going to the Arizona Phoenix trip with her. So trying to get on the list anyway. So we love those prayers of thanks, thanksgiving. Any other prayer requests at this time? Yes.
Just prayers for my mom.
Prayers for mom will be operated on soon, and for Kathy also, and family. Yes, Dottie. Okay, for friend Rich Welch about a lung transplant and getting all the insurance things worked out. Anyone else? Yes, Vera. Okay, her husband Bob, continue to pray for him, and Diane Marshall who lost her husband and in financial problems. Amen. In prayer, to go last follow-up Wednesday, and she's very happy, and we're all happy for you, too. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, for his brother. Okay, for his brother Jim, back in Shadyside, and can't figure out what's wrong with him and not eating, so be in prayer for him. Yes, Beth? Okay, liver cancer. And what'd you say his name was, Jim?
Greg,
I'm sorry. Yes, on another hand, Patty. For Sandy, Jan, you said? Janet. Oh, okay. And D. Let's keep those all in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord with our prayers, and then I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In our Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, many with hurts and pains, many with wanting to celebrate good news. And we know that's how this life is. It is ups and downs. Sometimes it feels negative, sometimes it feels positive. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we find ourselves somewhere in the middle. For our lives or for our families' lives. But one thing as Christians, we try to hold on to a firm belief that you are there with us every step of the way, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, whether things are going well or things not going so well. And we try to hold on to the belief that you care for us and that you have compassion for us, that you're filled with compassion. And that you do not desire for any of us to be sick or to be hurting in any areas of our lives. And we thank you for that. Teach us to hold on to you in a way that we maybe not used to doing. Not to turn away from you when we're struggling in life, but to reach out and take your hand. Not to turn away from prayer, but to pray even more fervently, and ask for your will to be done in our lives and to accept those answers. I've learned in my own life that my will is not always your will, and that's not always easy to accept. But when I do accept it, I find so much more peace. Lord, we thank you that Jesus gave us so many good examples of healing. But we also see that his main ministry was to teach and to preach and to get his disciples, his apostles ready. That the more people knew the Word of God, the more it could spread and the more it could find Christ as Lord and Savior and prepare themselves for heaven and eternity, where there is no sickness and no sorrow, all celebration, all good, all wonderful. Help us be those disciples today in 2012 and beyond. And we thank you. Every name mentioned touched their lives in a very special way. And we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next song is our contemporary screen song, Blessed Are They. And we're singing this how many times? One or two? Five times after each verse.
Yes, Lord.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again this Sunday we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, for you coming into the world that our sins might be forgiven and that we could enter heaven's gates. Thank you, Lord, for this church, for what we mean to the community. Thank you, Lord, for each person that is here, for those that aren't here, for the time that they give, for the money that they give, for the prayers, for the meals that they make for others, for the kind words that they say, the persons that they invite to church, for the time they spend in Bible study, for the times they give for your kingdom, for your church, to enrich our lives, to better the world. Bless them this day, Lord, in so many ways. Touch their lives. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Bill will come forward and read the scripture. And where I normally download the scripture, it was not there for 2 days. I don't know if they've shut that down, BibleGateway.com, so I had to find another place. A little different.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today?
Good morning.
Our scripture today is about Jesus meeting a leper. And when I read the scripture, one word just jumped out at me and gave me problems. It was in verse 41. Where it says, Jesus was indignant that this man came up to talk to them. Now, nothing's in the Bible by mistake, so I started praying about this and trying to understand why the word indignant. The only way I can explain it is that every time Jesus healed people, more people came to be healed. and he knew his mission on earth was to be our Savior, not our healer, although part of what he does is heal. So it leads me to believe that what the reason Jesus was indignant was that he wants us to come to him first as his our Savior, and then second as a healer. Please listen to Mark 1, 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Please bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
And I really do think we live in a world that canonizes celebrity, builds it up to a place of importance that it really should not be in. It no longer matters how much a person has accomplished in this life or contributed to society. All you have to do is become famous in today's society, in today's world, is keep yourself somehow in front of the media. We have people who are famous simply for being famous that have done nothing. People, and best example I know of, is Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie. And they became so famous that they got their own reality show, The Simple Life. And I think that's a perfect name for it. Also, know the names ripped from the Hollywood gossip columns, such people as Kim Kardashian. And if you go research her background, look at how she got famous, and now young girls everywhere are worshiping her and idolizing her. Jack and Kelly Osbourne, simply for being Ozzy Osbourne's children. And Kevin Federline, what did he do? He married a rock star, a female. People who are famous simply for being famous. Fred Allen, some of you remember him. Some of you may not know who in the world Fred Allen is. I think in this congregation today, most of you do. Once quipped that a celebrity is one who works to be known, then wears dark glasses so no one will know who he is. When the late Walt Disney was asked what he thought about being famous, he replied, "It feels fine when you get a choice reservation at a football game, but it never helped me to make a good movie or to command the obedience of my daughter. It doesn't even seem to keep the fleas off my dog. And if being a celebrity doesn't give me advantage over the fleas on my dog, then I guess it doesn't mean that much after all." Disney was a very sensible man, and he was able to put life into perspective. But I suppose celebrities serve their purpose. They make life more interesting for those who identify with them. You know, a few years ago, this football season just being over, and many people still talk about a 1985 year, I believe. Isn't that the year that the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl? Is that right? Well, most of you don't know because we're Pittsburgh, most people here. I think that's the year. And do you remember a man called William the Refrigerator Perry? Most people remember him because he was on Johnny Carson. He was on the World News. He was on the Today Show, all kind of networks. And why was he all of a sudden famous, not just because he played football, or not just because he was so large, but because he became the first defensive lineman in the history of the National Football League to run for a touchdown and to catch a pass for a touchdown during the regular season. First ever. And then in the Super Bowl, the odds were 10-1 against him running for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and he ran for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And he became overnight, not exactly overnight, but kind of an overnight sensation. And he made $750,000 at least in other fees, not just playing football. Meanwhile, his mother said, "I know he was good, but he wasn't that good." And then his wife said, "That was great for a while, but now it's ridiculous. It's gotten out of hand." Men, it takes a woman to remind us who we are, doesn't it? To bring us back to reality sometimes. Perry himself says, "You know, it comes as fast as it goes." And now every once in a while we hear a mention of Perry, sometimes around football season, but he's kind of slidden away out of our consciousness. One thing Jesus did not want to be, he did not want to be a celebrity. That was not his thing. You can see that in a lesson for today. A man with leprosy came to him. The man got down on his knees in front of Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And he talked about being indignant. But Jesus was filled with compassion. And Jesus wanted the man with leprosy to be healed. Jesus wants everyone who is physically or emotionally or spiritually sick to be healed. All of us. He wants everyone who is hurting in any areas of their lives to be made well. And maybe right now you're hurting in some area of your lives, whether it's physical, maybe it's financially. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe your house, you want to sell it, and it's lost equity. It's gone down in value. Maybe you're hurting somehow emotionally. Maybe your child has turned his or her back on you, or maybe they've gone out and are in drugs right now. Maybe something is really hurting you. Because people hurt in a multitude of ways, and none of it is what Christ desires for any of us. It is not God's will for any of us to have leprosy or cancer or heart problems or whatever pain that you may have in your life. It is not God's will, I don't believe, for any of us to suffer. That's why God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ and he healed those people. Then it's why he has given us the gift of medical science for us today. God wants us, I believe, to live free from disease. But Christ did not come into the world to be a medical doctor or a psychologist. There was no way for Christ to be concerned with everybody's physical body when he was here upon this earth to heal everyone that needed him. There was not enough hours, not enough days in the week, and he knew he was only here for a limited time to minister. He would have just had to sit in one place and just stayed there and prop him up and just healed and healed and healed and healed and healed. That does not mean that he was not willing. It was simply a practical impossibility for him to do it. Besides, healing individuals was not his primary mission on this earth. He didn't want people to suffer, but neither did he want to be lured away from his primary goal and his mission. How many times have you been doing something and got lured away from your primary mission, and sometimes you never even got back to it? Something took you away from your goal. His primary mission was to establish the kingdom of God in our midst here upon this earth. His primary mission was to preach and to teach and to instruct his apostles, those 12, and then the other disciples, so they could go out and do it, and then it multiplied, and then it could go out through all the earth. And that's still the mission today for us to be doing Christ's mission upon this earth. But notice what happens in this account with the man with leprosy. The man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man. I am willing. Be clean. He wanted it. He wanted to do it. He cared. And immediately the leprosy left the man and he was cleansed. And then notice what happens. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you do not tell anyone, but go show yourselves to the priests and make your sacrifices the way Moses told you to do at the temple. That's the proper way. So what does he do? He's human. He goes and starts telling everybody, Jesus healed me of leprosy. Look at me, I'm cleansed. Now I can go back out into society. I don't have to live in the leper colony. I can go out. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He had to hide from people in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here was the real mission, to spread the good news of the coming of the kingdom, but his success as a healer stood in the way of his primary mission. Perhaps that is the reason that 9 times in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells people to keep quiet about who he is or what he has done for them. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, one of the most amazing miracles in history. Then what does he do? Mark says that he gave strict orders not to tell anyone about it. Man, if I just raised somebody from the dead, I don't know what I'd be doing. But I want to tell, hey, go tell everybody I raised somebody from the dead. He healed a man who could not speak or hear. Then he tells the man, don't tell anybody that I healed you, that you can hear and you can speak now. The man can talk now, so it's the first thing he wants to do. He wants to talk and he wants to tell. But it wasn't just the people he healed. In Matthew 16:20, we read, then he warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. We call that the messianic secret. And again in Mark 9, following that spectacular event on the Mount of Transfiguration, we read as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone that he was the Christ until he was raised from the dead. Sounds strange. In our society, when people do something good, they usually want everyone to know. We do have some people that do things and keep it private. But the last thing that Jesus wanted to be was a celebrity. Unfortunately, celebrity came to him, and one of the reasons he was taken and nailed to the cross was because he was a celebrity. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders started learning more about him, and the more that they learned about him, the more they were threatened by who he was. He was a threat to the powers that be. Don't rock the boat. Don't do it. Go with the flow. Don't upset the apple cart. Still, when Jesus was confronted with someone who was hurting, he could not help but heal them. Why? Because he cared. He embodied the love of the Heavenly Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So when the man with leprosy said, if you're willing, you can make me clean, Jesus could not help but say, I am willing. Writer James Hume tells a story about a man, a friend of his in Washington, D.C., who woke up one morning to find his left arm paralyzed. Wouldn't move. Couldn't feel anything in his hand. So he rushes to Bethesda, to a doctor who ministered to presidents, and navy brass, and Dr. told him about his arm and a heavy accent. He replied, "Do not fear." I can't do accents, but "You have come to the right place. See that certificate on the wall? I was graduated from the University of Vienna." His friend said, "Doctor, my hand, I can't feel a thing." "It is nothing," said the doctor. "I am an expert in the field. See that other certificate? I was elected to the Royal Academy of Neurosurgeons. But doctor, did I have a stroke? I can't feel anything." "Be patient. Don't interrupt me. You're in good hands. See that other certificate? For that, I address the World Institute." With that, Hume's friend walked out the door and decided to go see his neighborhood doctor, who told him, "Trevor, you slept on your arm. It just went to sleep. You're going to be fine." See, the world-famous neurosurgeon was too interested in pointing out all his degrees and his diplomas and pointing to himself. Well, the neighborhood doctor cared about his patients and cared about the man being well, his physical, emotional health. Jesus cared about people. Even if it gave him less time for preaching and teaching, he couldn't help but heal. He could have just said, "No, I'm not going to heal. That's not what I'm here for. Just go away. Leave me alone. I came to preach." It ultimately cost him his life, but he just couldn't pass by people who were hurting. Jesus could not pass by people who were hurting, and they in return could not help talking about the wonderful things he had done for them. And the more they talked, the more their friends came to Jesus, the less time he had for ministry. We could say it was a vicious cycle, but it was anything but vicious. Jesus simply cared too much for his own good, and people who encountered him were always touched by him, and they simply could not keep it to themselves, even when he told them to be quiet. I think you and I can understand that. We may have been the same way. And if Christ has touched your life, especially in a very dramatic way, it's hard to keep quiet about it. I know when I came to Christ, it was a very dramatic experience for me. And I said it a long time ago in a sermon when I came here, probably two or three times. I kind of feel like they should have locked me away for about two or three years. I was just probably aggravated people to death about accepting Christ. I was so enthusiastic. I had to learn to calm down because nobody wanted to hear anything. I was just so overwhelming about it. I had to learn to be more relational about it. Sometimes it's hard not to tell everybody. There's a woman who was in a nursing home, 92 years old. I'm going to cut this short. She was very sick, diabetes, amputated her feet and toes and feet and legs. Had a lot of pain. Some days she couldn't even really get out of bed, and she'd go to bed to her chair. Then the days that she felt a little bit better, she could get in her wheelchair and roll herself around in the nursing home to visit other patients. And that's what she would do. She would take a sense of joy and go visit the other patients, and she would pray for them, and she would help them. Even though she had all this pain, all this suffering, she would become a light to them, play games with them, help take them if she could, get them up to go, and she would tell them about Jesus Christ. She had to share the joy that Christ had given to her. Think about that. What a wonderful thing to do. Her desire was to draw attention to her Lord and her Savior, because she felt that Christ had touched her in such a wonderful way, even in her sickness and her pain, that she wanted to touch other people. And so Jesus' acts of healing validated the message he came to proclaim. Jesus came to proclaim a kingdom in which people would live in peace and love with God as their king. The response of the people to his acts of healing was inconvenient, but ultimately it helped drive home the message he was all about. People came to see that God loved them and cared about them, and that their needs and concerns mattered to God. It's a true story of a tragic accident or a tragic shooting that happened in Chicago right outside of the hospital. A 15-year-old boy. Hospital policy, you cannot go outside of the hospital doors to help anyone. You have to call 911. They saw it happen, could see the boy, they called 911. Policeman inside the door, couldn't do anything. After 20 minutes, he couldn't stand it. He got a wheelchair, ran out, got the boy, brought him in. The boy died. Policy overruling love. And I don't know all the here's and there's of it, but I do know one thing. I can promise you Jesus Christ would have gone straight out, regardless of the rules and the regulations. He would have got that boy, and he would have done something for him. That's just sad to me. Because Jesus has already given his life to save that boy and you and I. His acts of healing, his acts of sacrificial love validated the kingdom he came to proclaim. His message was not of a God who is remote from our needs and concern, but one that is active in our lives today. His message was of a God who has come near and is working in the hearts of those who are open to receive him and what he has to offer, a new way of living, a new way of loving, a new way of helping, a new way of service and ministry. And we, the church at Glenshaw Valley, need to be open to these things. How can we minister to our community? How can we minister to one another? Find new ways. Old ways have always worked, but be open and do it. Let's do it. Let's minister to people. Let's grow, not just because we want to have more people to fill the aisles, but we want to touch, genuinely touch people's lives and take them into the kingdom of God and take them into the gates of heaven with us. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, People Need the Lord, 303. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary this day, I hope that you'll come back next week and that you'll, during the week, think about inviting someone to church with you. During the week, I hope you will go out filled with compassion and think about ministering to someone in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just an act of kindness. Making a meal for someone or a telephone call. Maybe it's helping someone financially. Maybe it's visiting someone. You can be creative. What is it that needs to be done that you can do? Go in God's love. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.